The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Experience lightning fast speeds and Sky's best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Monday morning. It's 9:05. It's the 21st of June, 2021. And it is, frankly, overcast. The mumbling upstairs was, well, I'm fed up with them all now. I've just, the weather-wise, if they tell you it's going to be one thing, plan for the other. That's what we're doing now. So if they tell you it's going to be raining, get the sun cream out. If they tell you it's going to be sunny, get the umbrella sorted. Either way, look, it's fine. We're all still here. We're still talking. We're still friends. Well, not all of us necessarily. I mean, the ongoing, my confidence is shook this morning because I recommended a movie last week called Page 8, and a lot of listeners got back in touch to say, yeah, thanks for curing my insomnia. I was in sleep within 10 minutes of watching it. I was like, oh, okay, jeepers. But it got even worse yesterday when members of my own family, siblings no less, said, did you recommend that film Page 8 to us? I said, yeah. That's the confidence going as I went, yeah. They said, that was one of the worst films. I said, I know, you're in agreement with most of the listeners of the show, to the show. I said, this is terrible. I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to recommend anything at all. I used to be able to recommend the odd book, the odd movie, the odd place you might want to visit. Now I'm not so sure. Even the Wild Atlantic Way is under threat now. I don't know. Maybe it's too watery in the sea or too sandy on the beach. I don't know what to say. Although, Grace Brennan did get on. It was wet on Friday night in Birmingham. House spotless. It's on the market. No viewings today. What should I do? She thought. She said, I know. Ryan suggested Page 8. Maybe you should watch that. I wasn't disappointed. So there's two people who weren't disappointed. Two. She said, it's a fabulous film. It's now 2:30 in the afternoon. Still raining. So now I'm going to read one of your suggested books. This is great. Now they're building me back up again. I'm ready. I'm now sitting more comfortably in my Banjax chair, and I'm ready for this. I'm ready to tell you about what medical experts are saying about COVID lockdowns. This is a piece that was doing the rounds of the weekend. Medical experts were asked, is it time to ease the COVID lockdowns? Allergists were in favour of scratching it. But dermatologists advised not to make any rash moves. Now, gastroenterologists had a sort of a gut feeling about it, but neurologists thought the government lacked the nerve. Obstetricians felt certain everyone was labouring under a misconception, while ophthalmologists considered the idea short-sighted. Many pathologists yelled, over my dead body, while paediatricians said, oh, grow up. Psychiatrists thought the whole idea was madness, while radiologists could see right through it. Surgeons decided to wash their hands of the whole thing, and pharmacists claimed it would be a bitter pill to swallow. Plastic surgeons, I can go on, by the way. Plastic surgeons opined that this proposal would put a whole new face on the matter. Podiatrists thought it was a step forward. But urologists were pissed off about the whole thing. Anaesthetists thought the whole idea was a gas. And cardiologists, well, they didn't have the heart to say no. I like that. I don't know who wrote it. It wasn't credited, but it's fun. I quite like it. The European Championships. I found myself on lazy Saturday afternoon watching, strangely, a Hungary playing France. And, you know, the European Championships are different. I wouldn't be Premier League material or League of Ireland necessarily all the time. But the big ones with countries I find fascinating because it's like global politics and the implications of it. And then with COVID and everything, I was looking at the Hungary-France match and saying there's tens of thousands of people squeezed into the place. And all the Hungarians seem to have their tops off and doing their chant with their claps. The French seemed to stay fully clothed for the most of it. It was a one-all draw. Apparently this was a big deal because France were fancied as among the favourites for the tournament, and Hungary down the rankings about 36 or 7, so it was a bit of a surprise and all that. It was interesting. It was a one-all draw. That was that. And then, of course, on Friday night, the night before, you had England-Scotland, so kind of we're keeping a watching brief on that. Always interesting to see those. And Wales seemed to be doing quite well, which is good news too. But after the England-Scotland game in Leicester Square, the Scottish fans made their way towards a statue. So what do you do when you want to vent your rage about the team that you don't like, particularly with the enmity that would be there between Scotland and England? What you do is you have your few jars, and it was all very good natured and fairness. You go to a statue in Leicester Square. What statue? William Shakespeare, right? The great English bard. And you abuse that statue with chanting. And how do you abuse that statue with chanting? And what do you chant at a statue of William Shakespeare when your team draws one all against an old enemy? This is what you chant. I think it was one of the greatest chants of all time. You just say, shout Robbie Burns. Shouting it at William Shakespeare's stony face. Just get it off your chest. So stupid. Usain Bolt has a way with names. I mean, I didn't realise his children had such wonderful names. But if your second name is Bolt, the chances are you can box clever with the names. So he's now the father to twins. He's named his first twin Thunder. Arise, Thunderbolt. And Usain Bolt has named his other Saint Leo. So Thunder, Saint Leo will be joining their sister Olympia Lightning for dinner of an evening now around the table. All the Bolts. But you might as well. With a name like that, you might as well. Former guest of ours here, Shauna Connor, has taken up a big post. She's from Longford. She's a great reporter, and worked for the Financial Times and Channel 4 and BBC and PBS. But she got a job, a very interesting job, it looks like, a major new role at the George and Amal Clooney Foundation as Director of Communications and Media. And having spoken to Shauna a couple of times, I think she'll be just the woman for the job. So I wish her well. The co-founders of the Clooney Foundation for Justice, human rights lawyer Amal Clooney and her husband, George, welcomed her on board and said very favourable things about her. And she herself tweeted to say, I'm joining the Clooney Foundation in a newly formed role as Director of Communications and Media. So I wish you well, Shauna. It's a great, exciting challenge for you, and no better person for the job. So well done. And the independent.ie reporting that the Biden dog, their German Shepherd Champ, who they called a constant, cherished companion, has died at 13 years old, not too long after the Obama's dog. We always say a difficult time in any family when the pet pooch passes away, but that's news in from the White House. There's continuing pace to film Disenchanted around the place, but Enchanted, the original, which I'm a big fan of, is going to be shown on Sunday at Monastery House in Enniskerry. Oh, that's appropriate. As a drive-in, which would be quite exciting. Classic drive-in cinema Sunday. Go to classicdriveincinema.ie if you're interested in going to see that. The Foo Fighters have unveiled their new musical direction, transforming from stadium rock heroes to a Bee Gees tribute band for their next album. Is this for real? As the DGs, a nod to Dave Grohl, who's a guest of ours this season on The Late Late, the band will release an LP including four Bee Gees covers. Hail Saturn. That's the cleverness of what they're doing there. Hail Saturn. We'll see the Foos, as they're known by people who aren't me, take on the Gibb Brothers 1970s disco classics Night Fever, Tragedy, You Should Be Dancing, and More Than a Woman. It'll be released on vinyl for US Record Store Day on July 17th. Do you want to have a little sneak preview? That's a bit of fun. I think Dave Grohl sounds like it strikes me, having spoken to him at one point, as somebody with a great sense of humour, a bit of crack, loving life and great attitude, and that's part of what he does. All right, you're texting away already, 51551. Good to hear from you this morning. Tony said, not only did I watch Page 8, but also the other two movies in the trilogy. Thank you for the recommendations. You're welcome. I thought Page 8 was quite good, says David. My wife introduced me to it. Quirky, but good. I can see why you liked it. Okay. And Paul says, saw Page 8 when it was out first on TV years ago. Okay, I loved it, but couldn't remember the name of it. Thanks for reminding me. I don't mind the begrudgers. We have wonderful taste. I've now ordered a copy from the local library. Right. Well, you're really going for it. And season 2 of Lupin has come out, which I'm quite excited about. I like that. It's kind of like a French twist on the Sherlock Holmes story. I have a good friend who likes to recommend movies. I think he has never given me one good movie. Okay, and you're still friends. Amazing. He used to be good at recommendations, but things changed when he entered his late 40s. Could this be happening to you? The answer to that question is very, 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 very simple. Yes. And that's where I'll leave it at that. I'm hoping it's not, but it could well be. Another says, I simply cannot keep listening to this page 8 bashing. I had watched it before you recommended it last week and really enjoyed it. My family also really loved it too. So I don't understand all the hatred towards this movie because I'm firmly on the team loved it, says Mary, 19 years old, down the road in Dublin. Well, you've just got impeccable taste, Mary. It's quite simple. And those who didn't get it just don't get the good stuff. And that's what it is. I could have watched the same movie, same or film, maybe 8 weeks ago and hated it. It can happen with movies and books and things. You can just find yourself going, great, just in the form and the mood for that at that given time. That's good. I was listening to a brilliant podcast. It still am. It's called Slow Burn. And they did stuff on Nixon and Clinton and so on. But their recent one is all about the Iraq War. And it is, I'm fascinated by the Iraq War now. In recent times, it was a brilliant BBC documentary on it about a year ago, 2 years ago. And equally this one, Slow Burn, very, very good. But it made me want to watch, which I watched last night, Sean Penn is in this film called Fair Game. Fair Game, about the CIA agent, Valerie Plume, or Plame, and her husband, who was a former ambassador, and how they were basically outed by the Bush administration because they were in firm disagreement with the fact that they just didn't have the case, the evidence to kick off the Iraq War. It's a very fine film, but the documentary is very, very good. The BBC programme on TV was called Once Upon a Time in Iraq, which was also very good. And there was a Jonathan Dimbleby podcast I was listening to on the same subject, quite similar to the Slow Burn one, but also absolutely beautifully put together and intriguing. So anyway, there's good stuff on that, if that's your bag. And to war of another time, you might have seen reports of this over the weekend, but I just think I really wanted to mark this woman's this morning because I knew of it, but I didn't know the full details. And this is Maureen Flavin, who was 21 years old on June the 3rd, 1944. What an important date that is in history. And she dispatched a weather report from Blacksod in County Mayo that would change the course of the Second World War, reading the IrishTimes.com piece on her this morning. And the barometer at the remote weather station showed pressure was dropping rapidly, indicating a major Atlantic storm was due to arrive and blow right across Western Europe. And based on Maureen's readings, Dwight D. Eisenhower, general, US general, postponed the D-Day landing by 24 hours. And on Saturday, Maureen, who's alive and well, Maureen Flavin Sweeney, as she is now, 98 years old, was given a special US House of Representatives honour for her part in the war. And it was recognised at a ceremony in Tiara, a nursing home in Belmullet, County Mayo, where she now lives. Isn't that amazing? What a great connection with one of the most extraordinary days in the history of the 20th century and beyond. And she was honoured for her skill and professionalism, crucial in ensuring Allied victory, and her legacy will live on for generations to come. Her son is Vincent Sweeney, who happens to be the lighthouse keeper. Isn't that brilliant? At Blacksod Point. And he was proud of the influence, but primarily happy that she got it right. At 1 a.m, June 3rd, the day she turned 21, her readings caused alarm overseas. Later that morning, she received a phone call from an Englishwoman asking that she please repeat the report. She looked at the barometer again, and herself and her husband Ted confirmed that a storm would indeed hit the English Channel on June 5th. And unknown to her at the time, this was the initial date chosen for the invasion of Normandy, France, of course, in an operation that required clear skies. And sure enough, she changed everything with that strain. I spent a lot of time talking about sliding doors with pals over the weekend and the nature of life and the strange things that can happen with just decisions, rightly or wrongly, and how they can direct and determine the future of your existence. All right, but that's for another day. And what do we got for you now? Well, let's take some music. I think I'm going to go here this morning at 9:19. George Benson, Never Give Up on a Good Thing at 9:23 this Monday morning. It's very good to have your company, and lots of you are very kind, be it on Instagram or our own email, ryan@rte.ie, to get in touch with top tips for a potential visit to Iceland. So you've convinced me, between yous all, if I'm going to go for the summer trip, because I was thinking, God, wouldn't it be nicer winter, kind of more atmospheric? And then you can see nothing. It's like the day ends at midday and stuff like that. I was going, oh, I don't fancy that. So I have been kind of collating all the information that you've been sending, and I'll put it all together. And when I have some class of a schedule lined up, I'll let you know. I went to a place called, and it was, you guys recommended it, and I know Joe Duffy was there as well, Oradors or Glan, and in France, which is the village that remained set in time. Do you remember, de Gaulle went to the village after the war, and it was, there was a massacre there, and the Nazis had destroyed the place and all the citizens in it. And de Gaulle said, this place stays intact from here on in. There's cars rusting in the street. There's bikes set aside on the walls. I mean, it is chilling in its horror, if you like. A very beautiful village in the middle of nowhere, essentially. But I did go there, and you guys were so good to me in terms of tips and what to do and where to go and all this sort of thing. And I'd love to share that with you if you're ever in France, and if you're interested in the war, if you want to show your kids something special, I would highly recommend Oradour-sur-Glan. Don't ask me how to spell it, because it's pretty phonetic, I think, and you'll get there if you wanted. The preserved village. I think there's a few of them around the world, but that's the one. So that's why I think Iceland sent. Thank you to Dave Hurley, who was on to me saying, I was in Iceland on a memorable camping trip in July 1973. Group of 20 of us, led by Gerard van Gelderen, of course, and people will remember him. And for 14 days, we travelled widely around the island, building up considerable camaraderie, as was evidenced from how we rallied to build a road with stones to extricate the bus when it got stuck in sand in the desert, and in our adaptation of a couple of wartime songs like It's a Long Way to a Curieri. And then it came to dinner time, Whale Meat Again. The highlight, I like that. The highlight was a visit to, is it Jaime? Just 6 months after the eruption and only a week after the airstrip was reopened. It was fascinating to see the destructive power of the volcano. But our exploration was curtailed because the heat underfoot was melting our boots. And as you apparently will only have a few days, you should concentrate on the big waterfalls. And you name a few of them there that I wouldn't be able to possibly. The spectacular landscape of Landmannalaugar. And if you can fit it in, another one. And it would be worthwhile searching out the short documentary film Fire and Jaime. But good luck and bon voyage. And that's just a little flavour. There's heaps of those kind of emails came in, and it was very decent of you. So thank you very, very much indeed. Quick question, if I may. Pubs open or not doesn't concern me, says Jerry. Foreign travel, likewise. What I would be interested to know is when, if ever, we will be allowed to stop wearing these awful masks and stop being nearly blinded by breaking elastic. Kind regards, Jerry in Kildare. I don't think it's today or tomorrow, Jerry. I think the masks are here for a little while to come. So keep at it. And the pubs, I hope they sort out that pubs licensing thing. That sounds ludicrous. You're not allowed to drink inside. Okay, we'll go outside. Not entering there either. So where does that leave us? Space. You can drink in space. But that needs, that, like, there's a rocket, probably NASA. I mean, it would just, that's all I'm giving you. Space. Yeah. Okay. So hopefully sense will prevail, because I know there are sensible people out there, and they could just say, fix it quickly and don't be having us running around and making fools of ourselves. Thanks for recommendation, page 8. Very good. But the follow-up, Turks Caicos, was desperate, despite Christopher Walken. Can I make a case for the Durrells in Corfu? Yes, Emer, you can. The days when you could go with very little formal education, become successful and change jobs every month, basically bundling along happily. Maybe we need to bungle more. In the 70s, when I finished university, if you didn't have a job, it was because you didn't want one. And frankly, I didn't want one. I'm about to retire, but I love the show. Okay, the Durrells, I'll certainly have a look at that. I have a lot of things to be doing, but yeah. And Christopher Walken, I know he can bring the ham when he wants to. I mean, he can bring the quality when he wants to too, but unfortunately, it's there too. My husband runs fishing trips to Iceland from Ireland. Holy smoke, amazing country. In winter and summer, can't recommend enough. Great sites that are free. Amazing natural wonders and changeable weather. Thank you, Jenna. It's all very exciting. Now, Candy Warhol, Maud Gone Wrong, standing by. Let's say hello to them after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right, enjoyed that chat. I may have to head towards the southeast today in a mini road trip. And I've often seen a sign on my way down. If I get down early enough, I can veer into it. for, I think it's a Quaker museum. But I went around Carlo, Kilkenny, often see the sign pointing left. I've always promised myself I'd go there. Has anyone been to it? Am I talking through my hat? Do I even know what I'm talking about? Who am I? These sort of questions. And if so, let me know. Is it worth a diversion in on the road? 51551 is the text number. Check out the Robert De Niro movie Flawless, where a bunch of drag queens in Hell's Kitchen help a retired general recover from a stroke. It's a brilliant movie. I haven't seen that movie, but thank you indeed for the recommendation. I was going to play this last week, and then I wasn't going to play it, and I said, maybe we'll. It's the first piece of new music from Diana Ross in 15 years, and we played a clip of it on Friday, and I thought, actually, it's not a bad song at all, so I'm going to play that now. Now, that's all right, isn't it, Diana Ross? I rather like that from her new music. That's called Thank You. Diana Ross, the ultimate queen. Yeah, I think you're on the money there. Watched Murder at the Cottage last night. It was very good, told very fairly. Credit to Jim Sheridan, true professional as always. Thank you. I haven't seen that, but thank you for letting us know. Love, love, love the Durrells. Great to watch with teenagers, says Claire in Dublin. But it seems that nearly every listener has been to Iceland or knows somebody who has, because you are very... Mary in Galway says, don't miss Jaime. I used to be a geography teacher, so nearly lost my life with excitement when I visited Iceland a few years ago. It was mind-blowing to stand in a place with one leg on a tectonic plate going east towards Europe and the other going west towards the Atlantic. There's more I want to tell you, though. You love history, so consider reading Burial Rites by Hannah Kent. Funny, I bought that and started reading it, and then I got diverted and I never went back, but I will have it at home. It's based on the thesis she wrote on the last execution in that country. I want to go back to pay my respects to the woman executed in that place. Go, have a great time, stay safe. Thank you. Gosh, very enthusiastic. Fiona in Greystone says, don't miss a half-day walking tour learning about Reykjavik while sampling local specialities from fermented fish. I skipped this one myself. Through cheese, black salt and the best hot dogs in the world from a van. Most amazing place to visit. Enjoy. I'm jealous. Thank you. That's a great suggestion. I love that. And what else we got? The museum is in Ballitore in County Kildare. Oh, it's that near close. Okay. It's a Quaker museum between Castle Dermot and Carlow. Never been there, but you'll see the sign posted off the motorway. Thanks, Pat. That's the one I keep seeing, but I've never been. So maybe I'll just drift towards there if I can this morning. And on the idea of you're not allowed to drink inside or outside, so maybe just drink in space. Jer in Kilkenny says, going into space for a drink will never catch on. No atmosphere. That Dimbleby, is it David Dimbleby I was talking about? It's called The Fault Line, if you're wondering about the Iraq. It's an excellent documentary. Museum, it's in Ballitore. Very interesting. Went with Antashka. Go there, says Angela. Go there. Thank you for that. Don't listen to the others. You have to experience Iceland in winter. Oh, Shivani, no. It mightn't be, time-wise, be an issue. The roads warmed by geothermal underground water, the icy waterfalls, the night skies, the hot drinks, the frozen lakes, snowy mountains, the cozy fires. You have to wait. Ah, you sell it well, though, in fairness. We tripped to Iceland in February 2019, says Anne. It was the best ever. Make sure to book a trip. I did the south of the island. It's got the most interesting things to see. Have a look at Aurora Hunter Iceland on Facebook. Gives you an idea of the night sky and other aspects of Iceland. Big warning, if going to the winter, which is the best time, bring lots of thermal clothes, gloves, hats. It's as it's cold like you've never experienced in Ireland. Wind chill is terrible. Can I suggest you buy a Canada Goose hat and jacket? They're much better value there. Best lagging jackets for this kind of climate. It's an amazing place. I haven't seen anything like it ever. Good Lord. Some museums are closed on Monday, so make sure you check before you go. Thank you. That is something that didn't even cross my mind. Mary, good on you. And John Brennan was on to say, they eat puffins in Iceland. You should try it on your visit. They are very small. You might need to order more than one. Well, you could get, what are they, like puffin nuggets? Or how do they, no, you can't eat. Some things are simply too cute to eat. And you can't, some animals just can't. It's like having a kingfisher sandwich. I mean, you wouldn't do such a thing, would you? And at least a kingfisher exists. The Quaker Museum is not open today. Ah, very good. It's open on Wednesday at 10. Angela, that sorts that question out. And I'll find something else. But thank you very much indeed for the Quaker Museum. I had no idea what I might even find there. But I've always been slightly intrigued. Okay, we have got to go. Claire Byrne is standing by. Be sure to stay tuned to Claire, and we'll see you tomorrow between 9 and 10. There's a great text in there, sorry, about Orador Sir Glan, which, as I said, was used at the opening shot in the classic The World at War. Remember Laurence Olivier doing the narration there? Down this road the soldiers came, and many of the Reich soldiers were killed in the Norman campaign, and no loss to humanity there, says Aidan. Well, look, it's a big question and it's a big deal, but Orador Sir Glan, look it up. It's an eerie, haunting place to be and fascinating place to visit. Okay, got to leave it there. Stay tuned to Claire. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.